section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts. All the penis jokes, racial statements, and inappropriate comments should not be associated with our guests and sponsors. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and if you're easily offended, we suggest you stop listening now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm ever. And who doesn't like a good auditory orgasm?
I am about to tell you something that'll change the face of history.
Coming to you live from the dirty stalls of the IBWIP studio and the airwaves of Silent Storm Radio, please welcome Amish BJ, Cold Beer Coley, and the podcasting god,
Amen.
Blake Clayton, and another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
We're not total dicks.
Follow that, bitch.
1, 2, 3, 4... When I turn my radio dial, all I hear is pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause
now it burns when I pee.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 77 of It Burns When I Pee. I am your host, Blake Clayton, and back in early November, I was honored enough to have Lone Wolf OMB come crash at my place while he was on the road touring. Bruno is a great guy and an amazing musician, and he's one of those types of people that it's just impossible not to be smiling and enjoy his company when he's around. On this episode, we're going to play a couple tracks off his album. He also did a couple of songs live, and we're going to do the interview. You can also check out Lone Wolf as our guest host on episode 73, which was entitled Free at Last, I'm Free at Last. So sit back, enjoy. This is one of the coolest guys I've met in the 6 years that I've been doing IBWIP.
This first song's called Crowned. I'll spend all my time with every day and night. We hold each other tight. Can't get enough of that girl of mine. Gotta go with the other side of town. Where I work, gotta keep her head crowned. When I go for long. The holding don't last too long, no. We are no more. My time is free, the crown no longer worn. Now I weep and miss that girl. Now I hold myself alone, yeah. All alone. All alone, all alone, all alone, all alone. My time alone, with nobody to call my own. Now a crown is on my head, and I never be down again, no.
P
Pay attention, folks. Here is how you contact the show. We love your feedback, so get off your lazy asses and get a hold of us. You can email Blake at IBWIP.com, AmishBJ at IBWIP.com, and ColdBeer at IBWIP.com. That's my mom and dad. We also have a dial-in number that you can use to leave us a voicemail or call in during the live taping. Now program this into your phone. 1-203-429-4711. We look forward to hearing from you, and remember, boob pics are always welcome.
More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics!
Let me speak to your manager.
Check 1-2. You do yours.
Check 1-2.
One more time.
Check 1-2. Check. Check Republic. Check. Check Republic. Testes.
I have 3 testes.
1-2-3?
I have 3 testes.
3 testes?
Yes. That's more than a mouthful.
3 testes?
Honey, tell Bruno I got 3 testicles. No, that's just
what the?
That's not believable.
I can't believe that.
He for 3, he was saying, "Oh, really?" But now 7 is not happening. Okay,
you got balls all the way up to your ass.
I got balls to my knees. In school, they call me knee balls. Knee balls. All right, you ready?
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
Can you quiet down? We're trying to do an interview here.
She said, fucking hair. All right. Welcome, everybody, to another in-studio interview with the one and only Lone Wolf one-man band.
Yes.
You got to talk louder, Bruno.
Yes.
Oh, so, man, it is awesome to have you here and have you hang out the last couple days.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be here and hang out with you, too.
We first met at Chrissy Fest this year. And my first memory of us is putting together a stage.
We put together a stage.
2 guys.
And 2 kids.
And 2 kids put together a stage. And then we also have chased chickens.
We chased chickens, and that was a lot of fun.
We both just kind of looked at each other like, oh, shit, they're out. And Sean came to the rescue. But it's like I said, it's great to have you. You're basically, this is your first tour, wouldn't you say?
It's my first tour going out by myself. I did a tour back in February. It was the Dukes of Jukes tour. I went out with Los Bastardos Magnificos, Brown Bird Rudy Relic, and Diablo Dimes. And we all just kind of hit the road together, and that was a lot of fun.
So what's the difference between touring with a bunch of guys and then touring by yourself?
Huge difference, man. Huge difference. I love being on my own, by myself in the car. Just wake up in the morning and hit another city, and it's an incredible way to make a living and to do what you love. You know, I mean, I'm living my dream come true right now, man. To be honest with you.
Awesome, and you know, last night we were kind of talking, and you know, you were telling a story about how you first. How you first decided you wanted to play guitar. Can you kind of go through that story again?
I don't remember last night.
That was the Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. I watched the movie Back to the Future. And, you know, the famous part with Michael J. Fox. I must have been about, when that movie came out, I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. And it was like a couple weeks later, the fair was in town, and I saw an inflatable guitar, the ones that you blow them up. Yeah, you blow them up, and it was a black inflatable guitar. I'm looking at that thing, and I was thinking, I can rock that. So I asked my parents to buy it for me, and they did, and I took it home, and I was jumping off the couches and doing Johnny B. Good.
Nice. So, you know, that was at, you know, like you said, 8 or 9 years old.
Right.
When did you kind of start playing the guitar proficiently, I guess you'd say?
Well, I would like to say that I'm a late bloomer. I mean, I don't come from a musical background at all, man, you know. Like, nobody in my family plays music. You know, my mother has a great singing voice. You know, I always was drawn to it. I would always love it when she sang, and my grandfather had a great whistle. He could whistle like a freaking bird.
Huh.
You know, it was beautiful sounding, but none of them really, you know, picked up an instrument or did anything like that. I think my mom could have been a great singer, but she never, you know, she was just a housewife, you know. But as far as first learning to play, the first instrument I ever had was a harmonica. I used to kind of just try to imitate Jimmy Reed's sound, and with no luck at all. But then when I was about 18, I already been working a few years, and I was really into like the whole, you know, old school punk rock. At the time, old school was like 80s,
right?
But I loved bands like Operation Ivy, and going back even further than that was you know, the Ramones and the Sex Pistols, the Clash. You know, I was a huge fan, and I loved the sound of the bass. So I saved up enough money and bought myself a cheap bass, you know. And I had some friends that were you know, messing around with guitars, and I'd always take my bass over to their house, and I would always take it more seriously than they did. But I learned some stuff just from playing with people. Never took a lesson in my life,
wow.
You know. But, yeah, I just kind of picked up different techniques from different people. You know, if there's anybody out there who wants to learn how to play an instrument, play with as many people as you can and never think that you know it all, because you won't get nowhere.
Right. So what was it like, you know, I love the stand-up bass.
Yeah.
But I see it as like everybody that plays the stand-up bass, I'm like, how did you pick that with, you know, it's not the most easy to transport.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, what made you decide, you know, to
Well, the first instrument I bought was an electric bass.
Okay.
But that led me, I love jazz, man. Back in the day, I loved jazz as well. I always wanted an upright bass. So finally, a neighbor of mine had one, and it had no strings. It was pretty beaten up. And he was moving to Canada. The day before he left, he's like, Bruno, buy this bass off me. I'm like, dude, I don't have any money.
Right.
And he's like, well, it's a $1,500 bass, you know. And I was like, but it's all beaten up to shit. He's like, give me $100, I'll give it to you. So I scrambled around $100 and gave it to him, and I got this upright bass. And from there, like, a friend of mine, Fred, he showed me a band called Mad Sin. It's a psychobilly band. And I had this idea. I wanted to fuse jazz with punk. I thought it was one of a kind.
Right. Never been done before.
Never been done before. Bullshit. Well, I listened to Mad Sin and heard that upright bass, and it was like a punk upright bass. You know, and then I found out that there's this genre called psychobilly, and I dug it, man. And I started researching, psychobilly bands, and just started to mess around with different strings on the bass and trying to find my own sound. So that's how kind of that came about. You know, so I played that for a few years and played in a band, formed a band called the Van Orsdells, out of Miami. And there's stuff on the internet that you guys can look up if you all want to
check that out,
stuff like that. And that's pretty much the story right there.
So when did the banjo come into play? And I guess for me, the interesting question is your style, you know, the claw style,
right,
which is not seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you kind of pick up the banjo and start, you know, perfecting that?
I'll tell you, man, it's the upright bass brought me to roots music. You know, I started listening to all kinds of music with upright bass and stuff. Started listening to a lot of bluegrass. And I was never really a fan of country, because the only country that I ever listened to was the country on the freaking radio that was like pop shit.
Right.
You know? So, but then when I started learning about real country music, you know, I loved it, man. You know, I loved it, and always been a big fan of the blues and stuff. And Willie Dixon, you know, listening to him, I picked up a few tricks from him on the upright bass. But then I always loved the sound of the banjo, man. You know, and one day, again, it was a movie. I went to go see a movie in the theater with my boy. It was one of these animated flicks.
Sure.
It was called... I forget the name of the freaking movie. But anyway, it was one of these animated movies. And my kid was about, he was what, like 4 or 5 years old. And Hoodwinked is the name of the movie. Hoodwinked. And in the movie, they had this goat that was blind and played the banjo. And he couldn't talk. He could only sing.
Okay.
I loved it. My kid loved it. I'm like, you know what? I need to get me a banjo. I was up on my money at the time. After the movie theater, I went straight to Guitar Center and got me one of these beginner kit banjos.
Wow.
And I thought the only way to play the banjo was with the picks.
The finger picks,
right. So I'm sitting there fiddling with the finger picks, and about a year went by, and I moved to Atlanta. Still loved the sound of the banjo. I was trying to do like stuff like Doc Boggs and other artists. I was trying to, you know, do a similar technique. I had heard of clawhammer, and I had heard styles of banjo playing clawhammer, but I never thought I could play clawhammer. And one time I used to bring my banjo to work, and when I bring it to work one time, and there was this dishwasher there. He's an African American guy, and he's about 70 years old, and he would sit there and listen to me every time on my break. The banjo never said anything. One day he said, "Let me see that thing." He showed me. He grabbed it and he started playing this claw hammer. I'm like, "Oh man, how do you do that?" And he showed me. You know, he's like, "Well, you know how the banjo is. It goes down, you know, 4 strings, and then the high one is up here. You're gonna catch it with your thumb." And from there, it's all history, man.
Awesome.
From there, he showed me just a very simple technique. And from there, it just kind of, you know, grew. I wanted to learn more and practiced every day. And I'm still not I still don't consider myself a good player. I still have a lot to learn. You know, I've seen guys out there that are a lot better. And I'm inspired every day by different players, you know what I mean? Nowadays, we got the internet, YouTube,
right,
and stuff that's,
right,
you know...
Everybody can get on there.
Yeah, man, you can get inspired, you know, immediately, you know.
So, you know, you've gotten 2 albums out.
Yeah.
And is there any work on a third, or...?
Yeah, I'm actually writing some songs now for a third album. But the last two that I've made have been really just... Man, I go in the studio, and a few hours later, I got an album mastered and everything. With this one, I really want to take my time and make sure everything is nice, is good, you know, because I've added a lot more. My style has kind of changed in the past year. You know, I've added a few more things on there, like the snare and the hi-hat and the crash cymbal.
And what's that like? I mean, being a one-man band, I mean, you'd think that you were limited to the sounds that you can make, but I mean, it's kind of an art form in itself. You know, I see, you know, you're doing so many things at one time.
Yeah.
Is it just practice, or is there, you know, some kind of secret to it? Because I mean, you couldn't instantly just start doing that. I mean, obviously it took
some practice. No, man, it took time, bro. You know, I mean, if you remember, I used to play with just a bass drum. You know, once I got comfortable with the bass drum, my left foot, I started messing around a little bit with my right foot. So I added a hi-hat. Once I got comfortable with the hi-hat, I added the snare. Once I got comfortable with the snare, I was like, wait, excuse me. It's missing something. So I added the crash cymbal, you know. And again, it's like things that I've picked up from watching people and being inspired by them. You know?
Does it, I mean, for your songwriting and just your style in general, I mean, the more stuff you add, the more that broadens your abilities and style.
Definitely.
And your options that you have for a song.
I definitely have more ideas that I want to put into practice, you know, but yeah, like I said, you know, it's a learning experience, and it's a lot of practice and love and passion for what you do. If I didn't have love and passion for what I did, I don't think that I would be doing this right now.
Right.
You know, you got to love what you do. You can't just want to be, you know, I don't personally, you know, if I have money in my pocket and I go to a gig and I don't make that much money, I don't give a shit because I had fun doing what I did.
Sure.
Now, if I don't have money in my pocket,
that makes a little bit different.
Yes.
You know, you did play Muddy Roots this year.
Yep.
And I kind of want you to kind of go through, you know, that 15 minutes before your set started and kind of go through what you were feeling and like how, because if I'm not mistaken, that was one of the biggest crowds you had up to that point that you had
definitely
played.
Definitely, man.
Because when I saw you about 15 minutes before,
I was nervous.
Scrambling
shit.
Around like a chicken.
Like
with
a chicken.
Head cut off. But, you know, kind of tell us about that experience and how it's kind of affected you as an artist.
Well, I'll tell you, man. I've always had a problem whenever I go in front of people, especially being a one-man band. When you're in a band, you have more people, and it's kind of like they cushion it for you, you know?
You can mess up or something, and you're not.
You can mess up and, there, you know? One-man band, you mess up, and you're fucked.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a matter of getting up there. It always happens to me, and Nick Reddit will tell you, you know, he's seen me puke a bunch of times before I've gone on stage, you know? Once I get up there, though, it all goes away.
Right.
Once I get my first couple of, you know.
And you can see during your performance, at least for me, and I think there, you know, there's video out there, but you could kind of see in your eyes, you know, and we had spent time together beforehand, you know, at T-Fest and then at Muddy Roots, but you could kind of see where that light went off and where you kind of went into the zone and it was, you know, all straight ahead from there.
That's cool that you noticed that. Absolutely, man. It happened. You know, it happens like that.
And you, with each song, you seemed like you were having more and more fun.
Right.
Like you started to really dig
it. Well, the crowd did it too, man. I mean, everybody was screaming and to hear everybody go, Bruno, my friends were there, you know. So it was a very special moment for me, man. And I tell you, Muddy Roots really, it changed a lot of things for me, man. It gave me a lot of contacts around the country. I don't think I would have had much success booking the tour that I'm on right now if it wasn't for that experience, you know. So I want to thank Jason Glass for having me, you know, first of all, and Muddy Roots Festival, anybody involved, and all the bands too, all my friends that went, and anybody who caught the set or anything like that. Thank you very much.
And you're on the bill to go to Muddy Roots Europe.
Yeah, man.
Are you excited about? Have you ever played overseas?
No, never. This is going to be my first time. I've played in Costa Rica, down in South Central America. I got a couple of gigs down there when I was down there visiting my folks. But never in Europe. I mean, you know, I've lived in Europe. My parents are from Italy. And with the exception of, you know, 2 years in Italy. I've lived my whole life in Florida, you know, but back in the 80s, we spent 2 years in Italy, and that was quite an experience. But I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of Europe, not just Italy, even though Italy is gorgeous, and I would like to do some shows down there. But I don't know the first thing about booking anything in Europe, man. So it's a learning experience, man. Yeah. As I go, I'm learning as I go, man. You know, right. And I've been doing this for about 2 years, and I learn every day, man. I learn every day about shit.
Would you say that you've? I mean, the momentum that your career has picked up, maybe since Muddy Roots. Would you say that there's a dramatic difference between before Muddy Roots and after?
Definitely for the rest of the country. I don't know about in Florida. Florida, kind of like, you know, not a lot of people get out of Florida. You know, there was only maybe a few people that I knew from Florida at Muddy Roots. But the rest of it was out there. But yeah, definitely, like, it did made a huge difference. Cool. Made a huge difference, it did.
Well, you know, I very much value your friendship first and foremost. You're a good man.
Thanks.
And we have a good time. But your music is unique. You know, there's a lot of one-man bands out there and one woman bands. But yours is definitely distinctive. It's got that Cracker Swamp, you know, style to it. And it's awesome and it's unique, and that's what I enjoy about it. And I wish nothing but the best for you and your career.
Well, Blake, thank you so much, man. And thanks for having me over your house and for doing everything that you've done. And enough sucking each other's dicks.
All right. Now let's go have some chicken.
Let's go have some chicken.
All right. Well, we're going to have Lone Wolf play another song. And thanks again, brother.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Are we rolling still? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right. This next song is called She Don't Pay Me No Mind. I wrote it when this girl broke up with me. She ain't paying me no mind. Simple stuff, people. I lay low, you can't see, my baby done left me, she's out there, you know, legs up high. Baby, don't love me no more. She don't pay me no mind, child. Love me no more. She don't pay me no mind. Love me no more. She don't pay me no. Baby always loved me since long time ago. Well, now she love me, now I feel low. Baby, don't love me no more. You don't pay me no mind. Baby, don't love me no more. I'm going through hard times, people, now. Love me no more. She don't pay me no mind. Love me no more. She don't pay me no. She don't pay me no mind. No more romancing and holding all the time. Baby, don't love me no more. Going through all times. Baby, don't love me no more. You don't pay me no mind. Baby, no mind. Pay me no mind. Pay me no mind, child.
Steinstorm Radio. Independent and totally unaffiliated.
That's right, folks. Like the boy said, you can come on over to www.silentstormradio.com. And once you're there, you're right there on our live page where you hear us play some fine tunes and you listen to us yap your ear off. And then if you look above that, we have a bunch of tabbies that has a calendar page. And that shows you any special events that we are going to be having. And there's also a show page, which shows you descriptions of the shows and their times. And then we also, last but not least, have a contact page where you can get a hold of us and let us know how we are doing and give us feedback. We love your feedback. I should know.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.